Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Show is on the air. We are glad you're on board today. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at New Mail Medical, treating guys with ED all over the state of Wisconsin and beyond the borders. They have a 98% success rate, all but guaranteeing the fact that they can give you a hand there. Help you out. 98% if you're suffering from the low T, maybe in the middle of the day. Like right about now, you look at your computer and you're thinking, man, I'm going to swoon over and go to sleep. That's the kind of thing that you may have to go get checked out. If you're over the age of 30, go get your levels checked. I did. Turned out I had low T. Went and got it worked on. Fantastic. Good stuff. Call them. 414-455-4451. 414-455-4451. If by chance you are looking to shed a few pounds, jumpstart a health and fitness program, maybe a little weight loss along the way, it's another great phone call to make. Call them. 414-455-4451. That's the New Mail Medical Center. They can help you out. Get on the program. It does work. I get people asking me all the time. Yes, it does work. A lot of people talking about all this stuff with Ty Montgomery. Let's do this. Let's run through what he had to say last night, okay? And take a look at this. And I want to let you hear some of the things that he had to say regarding some of the discussion about the end of the game and what's gone on. So I want to get into all of this because I want you to hear it, and then that way you're educated enough via his words to react to it, okay? So, first of all, he sat down and had a chance to talk with Mike McCarthy, okay, and talk with McCarthy about, you know, just where they're at, the play itself, and where they're at after the discussion. Take a listen.
And, you know, I think if it wasn't for the anonymous comment that was tweeted and written about by this reporter, I don't think we would be talking about this as much. I think we would be talking about more things that happened during the game. You know, I don't really like bringing up somebody else's situation because I don't want people to think, oh, I'm making excuses. I like to be accountable. But, you know, I don't think it would be what it was if that didn't come out. Because now we're not talking about the fumble anymore. We're talking about my character. We're talking about whether or not I was a selfish player and whether or not I intentionally did what I wanted to do for myself against the wishes of the team.
So I get into the discussion after that. I wanted to go a little bit further. He was asked additionally about you know, which teammates going beyond that. So if there were teammates that talked to him, other teammates other than the ones that, or other than the one quoted here, were there other teammates that actually talked to him about all of this? And this was his answer.
I talked with Tremont Williams. Talked with Devon House isn't here anymore, but we talked. I talked with Mercedes Lewis. I talked with, you know, a few other veterans as well. Ha Ha is one of them.
In addition to that, there was the report that he had thrown the temper tantrum. Okay, and the reason I bring this up is because many of you are either on hold or hitting us up on Twitter saying, well, he threw the temper tantrum, this was all about him. This was his explanation regarding the, quote, temper tantrum.
I wasn't playing very much during the game, and as any competitor would be, you're a little frustrated about that. But at the same time, you know, my teammates will tell you, especially the other running backs, they'll tell you that I was excited for what we were doing on offense. You know, my frustrations came from not fully understanding or being fully communicated to what my role was or what I'm supposed to be doing. I feel as though up until this point, I've been productive and efficient and helpful on offense. So I was just completely unclear. So to not have, I think I had like four plays prior to that, to then be thrown in on the last drive, you know, for one play. And we kind of have this rotation where we like rotate every series or whatever. So when, you know, I'm told it's my series and I go in for one play and then I come out, I'm like, what's going on? You know, what's happening? And, you know, then on top of that, I just wanted to make a play. I wanted to be effective. My number one goal when I'm in the game is to be effective, whether I'm blocking or running or catching a pass. And, you know, I felt as though in that situation, if we can take a first and 10 and make it in the second and manageable, we can just get one first down. We'll take more time off the clock. You know, maybe be in better position to change field position with the punt, you know, if we do end up punting. You know, I didn't want to be in second and 10, possibly in a third and long situation. My goal was to make a positive play. And when the ball came my way and that didn't happen, that was frustrating. And then, you know, you add that on top of, you know, not really knowing, you know, where I'm fitting in the game right now in the offense. I was frustrated. And, you know, I would describe it more of, you know, I think we've all had that moment where you get pretty frustrated and, you know, you want to keep your cool around everyone, but then you have to have that moment where you got to go in the room, close the door, scream in the pillow, and then walk out and go about your day. And that's pretty much what happened. I came off the field. You know, we've seen guys do that, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, I scream, I take my helmet off, didn't throw my helmet. And, you know, then I went back in the next play. So, I mean, if I threw a tantrum, that was a pretty quick tantrum.
So there you go. That's the breakdown via the temper tantrum. Now, I want your thoughts. 855-830-8648. Let's go to Brian on the south side. Brian, welcome to the Bill Michael Show. What's going on, man?
Hey, Bill. Thanks for taking my phone call.
Sure.
I totally understand about the game, and I felt really bad because I was so – I'm not a gambling man, but I was so certain we were going to win. Even more so than the Brewers beating the Dodgers two games in a row at Miller Park.
Mm-hmm.
But all that aside – I think, I had to reconsider the Packers trading him. But I question what is his role. And the thing of it is, I disagree with one of the callers back that he hasn't done anything. The thing of it is they don't play him. And
right.
and I believe you, or I believe it was you last week, do we need three running backs? Then move him back to wide receiver. They just don't play him, and I get frustrated because I don't think he's a problem. Demarius Randle was a problem. Montgomery is. But
like I said, we have heard numerous times about Demarius Randle, about him being a problem. Other than this, I don't think I've ever heard about Ty Montgomery being a problem. Have you?
Right, but I don't question. I question why don't they use, like when we had Jared Cook, why don't they throw it to him more? Why don't they throw it to Mercedes Lewis, and I understand he's a good blocker. Well, let's see what he's got on offense. Why don't they throw more to Jimmy Graham? It's like, I don't understand. Why don't they mix it up more? You know, the only thing I would say to trade Ty Montgomery, because even if they did move him to receiver, they don't throw it on him anyways. So he's like, we haven't had a chance to see his talent really.
I appreciate the phone. No, I get what you're saying. Look, Mercedes Lewis, I don't think is as good a tight end as Jimmy Graham, and they're not throwing it to him. I think you're talking about a guy that can dunk a basketball and go up and get a ball, but he's not, quote, in sync with the quarterback. I don't know. I this is why when Aaron Nagler and I were on before, and I said, hey, look, everybody wants to criticize Mike McCarthy, and there's things to criticize. But you've got the guy that's the highest paid that is not playing top-notch right now. You've got other guys. Maybe they're not running crisp routes right now. Granted, that all falls on certain aspects of coaching. But there is a distinct dysfunctionality to the offense for at least a quarter of football in almost every game. They're going to get stopped at times, and teams make adjustments. I understand. They're getting paid, too. But what I don't understand at times is when we see – now, granted, there may be a paw on his face, and Aaron Rodgers can't see everything. He doesn't have eyes in the back of his head. But he's up until – here's what makes this so tough, okay? Let's cut the crap. Aaron Rodgers has played like Superman for almost his entire career, okay? He has played beyond the ability of many other quarterbacks. So that's what we expect. So when he merely plays very good, it is subpar for Aaron Rodgers because the bar has been set so high. Mm-hmm. When he doesn't see Marquez Valdes-Scantling running on the inside slant deep in his own end zone and instead hands off to Aaron Jones, are you doing it, one, because you didn't see him on a run-pass option, or two, are you pissed off and you're just running it because Mike said to run it? Are you proving a point? Okay, I don't think Aaron Rodgers has proven a point. I think Aaron Rodgers is a little bit of a different quarterback at the moment. We always said he was Superman. Man, the guy could flip out the lights and be in bed before it got dark. He's that guy. Okay, I'm not beating up on Aaron Rodgers, but he is not playing Superman. He is just a step below Superman, and we've come to expect Superman, okay? You're paying for Superman. So when you're Superman, and you are Superman, and you take all the credit about being a great quarterback, about being an MVP, about RELAX, and about everybody just kind of chilling because we can, quote, run the table, okay? When all of that is heaped upon you, and you're Superman, we expect Superman. When you're not, something's not right. When you don't see a guy 10 yards downfield when you only need 9, and you force it to a guy 30 yards downfield and it's an incomplete pass, and you're a 3-and-out in punting, we wonder why. So am I bashing Aaron Rodgers? No. He's an incredible talent. But when he doesn't play incredibly all the time, the bar is then lowered, and we wonder why is the bar being lowered. That's all I'm saying. Is it other guys? Of course it is. Is it a pass rush coming around Brian Bulaga? Sure it is. Is it somebody coming up the gut against Byron Bell? Sure it is. But we expect the greatness out of Aaron Rodgers. How many times did we talk about it at the beginning of the season? Normally he's got eyes in the back of his head. He doesn't get tackled from behind and fumble the football. He did it twice in one game. That's not Aaron Rodgers. So I'm not knocking him. It's just not what we expect. We expect a different level of play, another step above what he is right now. So for those that say, well, he's brought us back. Without him, we don't win. I agree. I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm not calling for Deshaun Kizer. Are you stupid? My point is, we expect 4 quarters of that, not a half a foot. You get behind because your offense is inept. You're putting your defense in bad positions. So when you do finally play well, we go, well, there it is. Without him, we wouldn't be anywhere. Well, you're right. But then again, if this offense was good in the first 2 quarters, they wouldn't be playing from behind in the 3rd and 4th. They would be ahead. That's my point. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, do it. Let's do this. We'll go ahead and take a quick break. We got Jeff and Lee and a cast of thousands on hold. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michael Show next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Them girls loose, loose.
T-J-R.
You don't get the world loose, loose. You don't get money.
Mr. Worldwide.
But I do, I do. You don't get them girls loose, loose. You don't get the world loose, loose. You don't get money. But I do, I do.
You know what tonight is?
Y'all having a good time out there.
Take a step back. Get ready for Bucks tomorrow. Or Thursday, I should say. And maybe grab some cousin subs and a cigar. Head to the bar. Tonight's the night that I watch the All 22.
It's my favorite night of the week.
It really is.
Yeah, it's great.
Today it just downloaded to my laptop a little while ago. Mm-hmm. To the All 22, and I sit down tonight and because I just got I'm completing. I shouldn't say it's done, but mm-hmm. I'm completing the new bar in the house, which is the old bar in the house, but. I'm hopefully completing this tonight. So tonight, I think I'm going to take the laptop. I'm going to go downstairs. I'm going to get a beverage. And in the new house that we just bought, in this bar, in this country-esque bar, my wife posted a picture of it yesterday. I don't know if you saw it on Facebook.
I saw it, yeah.
Isn't
nice.
It kind of cool?
Yeah, it's really cool.
Now, I will say this. She took an amazing picture. Sherry does. I mean, she's just, like, photogenic that mm-hmm. way. But all the crap is just out of frame. I mean, all the crap we have everywhere. We have light fixtures. We have wires. We have, beer. We have koozies. We have all the crap that we have. Pictures we have no idea where to go with or what to do with because the wall space is limited down mm-hmm. there. All the crap we have is off to the side. So she took an amazing picture to kind of set the scene for what the bar is. But tonight's the night that we put a lot of the crap away, you know? So tonight I'm going to take the All-22, the film. I'm going to go downstairs, and I think tonight I pick out one of the better cigars in the humidor. And I got to put one of the new barrels in place. Does she have a picture of the barrel down there, by the way? Yeah, she does, because the karaoke machine's on it.
You have a karaoke machine, too?
We do, yeah. We got a karaoke.
I got to pull this up now.
In the bar, I bought an 8-ounce, which is a pretty good size, an 8-ounce kettle popcorn machine. One of those stand-up, on-wheels, old-fashioned popcorn machines, like you'd have in a bar. Mm-hmm. I just wanted one like I've always seen in a bar. When I go to Stenny's, they've got this cheesy salt powder that you put on your popcorn, because it's just free. You go down there, you just scoop it into your thing. Yep. So I bought the exact same baskets, and I've got the wax paper pulls, the whole thing. I bought the whole thing. So you go down, you fire up the popcorn, you pull the basket out, you put the lotion on it. No, you don't do that. But then you put the wax paper in, and then you put the popcorn in it, and then you got the salt on top, and you sprinkle the salt. It's fantastic. It tastes just like Stenny's. It's the best. So tonight I think I'm going to do that. And then on the other barrel, we've got these big whiskey and bourbon barrels that I got.
Nice.
And I just picked another one up today, as a matter of fact. My buddy Dave Hawk over at Beachwood, which is Bud Light, called me and said, hey, we don't have a Goose Island one for you, but we've got a bourbon barrel that we bought.
Okay.
He's got some, so I went over to get one today.
Yeah.
As they're rolling it out to me, bourbon is oozing out of the seams of this thing.
Ooh.
So you go to pick it up, and I throw it in the back of the truck, and you can smell it on your finger. Oh,
yep.
My God.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
That's the good stuff, man.
Oh, God, it's so good. So I'm going to put the barrels up, and on one of the barrels is my humidor with all the cigars. And mm-hmm. my humidor holds about 250 cigars.
How many you got in there right now, would
it's,
you say?
It's teeming.
Yeah.
It's overflowing. There's probably 300 in there. It's crazy. I should have a cigar smoker at my house. But the guy that built the house prior to us buying it, was a contractor who smoked cigars. He put in a true vent fan system.
Okay.
So you can sit below it, like two or three people smoking cigars, and you never smell it in the house.
Wow.
It sucks it right up and out of the house. It's fantastic. So tonight's popcorn, the All-22, a beverage, and a cigar. That's my night. Once we get everything put away, that's my night.
That's a perfect night right there.
So in the bar, we've got the electronic Harley-Davidson dartboard.
Mm-hmm.
We have got the foosball table. We've got karaoke, the popcorn machine, and then I went out and I finally figured it out. Thanks to everybody, by the way, for chiming in. I bought the Atari.
So you got it now, right? You got the Atari?
I got the Atari.
Okay.
I got Space Invaders, Asteroids.
So have you showed this to the kids now? Because have you seen these new video games, man?
Oh, my God. They're like, they go down there and play.
Okay, good.
Easton's got Xbox, like with everything, and Fortnite, and buys $25 a week.
Yeah, yeah.
They got all that. They all go to the bar now. And sit down there and get frustrated over playing, you know, whatever that, where you jump the Frogger is
Frogger.
A big one.
Yep.
Pac-Man's a big one.
Pac-Man's huge. Love that game.
Then there's the one where you jump, like, the creek over the crocodiles and stuff, which is the square pixelated crocodiles.
Mm-hmm.
You got to jump up, whatever the hell that is. They play that continuously and scream and yell over frustration. Then the IndyCar game, I can't figure out how I ever played that. I can't drive that thing worth a crap. I'm wrecking all over the place.
So it's not like riding a bike. You can't just go back and jump in.
No, this is. I mean, the Space Invaders, nobody's beating me. I got that going on.
Mm-hmm.
But and the Asteroids are pretty good. But I can't figure out the IndyCar racing to save my life.
I still can't believe you found an Atari that actually works. Like, I found a Nintendo. It worked for about 2 weeks, and then it just went kaput.
No. I bought the Atari Flashback 8. Now, they tell me the Atari Gold is even better.
Really?
So I might have to go with that. I'm going to have to go get that. But I've got in the bar three TVs, all different cable.
Yeah.
Okay, and then I mounted a 42-inch above the bar table.
Okay.
That is strictly the Atari. It's like a video game. You're sitting at the table doing whatever, and it's a video game table. That's all it is.
I would never leave the house. That'd be my problem.
That's all it is. So it's absolutely fantastic. So that's what I'm going to do tonight. You know, that's it. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. We'd love to hear from you, but that's going to be my night tonight. So I'm going to watch this game. I'm going to watch last night's game between New England and Buffalo and then get ready for that. I still, after watching portions of that game last night, I still think the Packers can beat them.
I think they do. I think they win that game on
Sunday.
I think
the Packers win the game.
Is it a must-win game?
Yes.
It is?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a must-win game. You go to 3-4-1. I mean, you can win out, don't get me wrong, because they can certainly beat Miami. They can certainly win on the road against Seattle. I think beating Minnesota is going to be a tough task going into Minnesota.
Right.
After that, I think the schedule eases up a little bit. But if you're going to prove yourself to being one of the better teams in the NFC or even in the NFL, you got to win. You can't go on the road against L.A. and New England and lose both of those games and keep saying close but no cigar. You eventually have to win. Now, is it a must win in the sense of if they don't win this one, they're out of the playoffs? No. But it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to win out the rest of your season. I don't think that's going to happen. 855-830-8648. Let's go back to the phone calls. Let's listen to Jeff is in Viroqua. Jeff, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
I'm good. I guess I'm calling on behalf of Montgomery. The guy, I mean, I think a lot of Packer fans forget what he has done for the team in the last few years. And a lot of people are forgetting about Chicago in 2016. It was, I think, he had like 160 some yards, two touchdowns, and he was a hero. And now that he had an unfortunate fumble in a big game, I, along every other Packer fan, wanted his neck. It was a Bostic situation all over again, and everyone hated him. But he made a mistake, and I mean, I still think he's vital to this team. I'm not sure how. I don't know if a third string running back or if he's better at slot receiver again, but I think he can be used somehow. He's a smart guy. I think he can make a big impact on this team somehow. What do you think about it?
No, I completely agree. I appreciate the phone call. Yes, the impact can be there. Will it be? I don't know. Right now, I think that this team right now is at a bit of a crossroads. And I thought that going into, how do I put this? Going into the bye week, I thought this team was at a crossroads. I think that now. Because they got beat in a heartbreaker at L.A. You can take away two things. Either one, that you lose and you lost and you put everything you had into it and you're done. Okay? Or you can go and look at it as we just went toe-to-toe with what's considered to be the best team in the National Football League and we were a safety and a fumble away. We played a terrific game. And oh, by the way, the offense went away for a period of time. And they put the defense in some bad situations. So if you can kind of close the mistakes and just get a little more consistency, just punch it in the end zone one more time, you're there. You go from being a mediocre team with a 500 record to one of the elite teams in the National Football League. You're not that far away. I mean, the line is very... The line is very, it's blurred. It's very gray. It's a very middle road area. So I think the Packers can go in and win. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. Want to hear from you. Let's go to Lee listening to us in Merrill. Lee, welcome to the program, man. What's going on?
Hey, Bill, how are you?
Good.
A little different perspective here in regards to Ty Montgomery. And strictly looking at the Packer fans, when I've been watching the Packers this year from game one to game six, I sit and watch and go, who's going to do the bonehead play next? Okay? Mm-hmm. A lot of mistakes from taunting to penalties on punts to Nate Mason Crosby missing all those field goals. Who's it going to be? Now comes last Sunday. I'm thinking about the Packer fans here now. They got a clean game. Maybe that's safety, that's one thing, but pretty clean until one, the last 6 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
We get a shank punt. Montgomery goes back and fumbles, okay? And the Packer Nation knee-jerked. They knee-jerked to this thing. And because why? They're so used to it. They're just sitting waiting. Who's going to be the dummy this time? And they knee-jerked to this guy. That's what I think. And I think those players in the sidelines, whoever spoke up
First of all, you know darn well it wasn't Mason Crosby who spoke up, because he's humbled. Every one of those players should be humbled. If you had them all in a room and you asked them, raise your hand, whoever thinks they haven't done a bonehead play this year. Nobody's going to raise their hand.
Correct.
And they came down on him. And I think this whole thing comes down to one thing, and that's coaching. You eliminate these bonehead plays, and this team's doing pretty good. You look at these previous games, and just the dumb things that happen. And it's just knee-jerk to this thing. And the big, whatever they said about Ty Montgomery and whatever they did with it, saying things about his son or his family. I mean, wow, it's just all knee-jerk. It's just so stupid. You look at this thing, and I just sit and wait. Who's going to be the next dummy? That's what I see. So that's my thoughts.
Yeah. I appreciate the phone call. Look, everybody has – here's the problem. And for the most part, everybody that has said it is right. Had he not fumbled the football, we're not talking about this. This isn't even an issue. This is a guy that we would have looked at and said he got pissed off, took the ball out of the end zone, didn't maybe get it to the 25, got it out to the 22, 23-yard line, cost him a couple of yards, depending on what the outcome of the game was. We're not even discussing it. So it would have been, hey, he got mad and used it as a chip on his shoulder to bring the ball out and cost his team 3 yards. Remember, I mean, he got hit about the 21, 22-yard line when the ball came loose. So I don't think we're – I mean, the only thing we could be talking about is if he ran it out and it took him 3 seconds or 5 seconds and they lose the game, say, by 3 or 5 seconds, then we would be saying, well, what were you doing? Why would you take it out because you cost your team 5 seconds? The fumble is what made this egregious. Otherwise, we're not discussing it. That's what people are mad at, is that it took away the – it didn't lose the game. It took away Aaron Rodgers' opportunity to go and win the game. You can go back to numerous plays in that game that lost the game. You know, like we talked about before, the offense numerous times drove in between the 20s, couldn't put the ball in the end zone. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you talk about the safety. You know, handing the ball off and not passing it on an RPO to Marquez Valdes-Scantling on an inside slant. I posted that on Facebook. You can go see the video of that. You know, those kind of things you can say could have cost the game individually. But it's collectively when they just don't put the ball in the end zone consistently, or maybe a pass over the middle, or a first down conversion, things like that, defensively speaking. There's a lot of things you can point to that say cost them that game. But what that cost them was the opportunity to then go and win the ball game. 855-830-8648. This portion of the program being brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. And don't forget, coming up Thursday night, 6 to 8, we're going to be at Paulie's Pub and Eatery on Greenfield, right across the street from the west from the State Fair Park. So come on by, be a face in the crowd. A lot to talk about, as always. That's going to be Paulie's Pub and Eatery this Thursday night, 6 to 8. Hope to see you there in West Dallas. That's the Bill Michaels Huddle, brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Show is on the air. We're glad you're on board today. Thanks so much, as always, taking a listen to us. We certainly always appreciate you hanging out. Been a lot of great discussion today. The Bucks, we're going to chat a lot about tomorrow as well. And obviously, with the Brewers making some decisions, there's going to be more Brewers news. We're going to continue to break down the Green Bay Packers getting ready to take on the New England Patriots. Speaking of the Patriots, Michael Girardi, the NFL Network, covers the Patriots there as well. Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Michael, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
We're doing well. So I guess my question is, the Packers just come off of a loss to the L.A. Rams, and everybody considers L.A. to be, if not the best, certainly one of the best teams in the National Football League. Pound for pound, player for player, Brady tips the scales, but how would you compare, if you could, L.A. to what they've got going on in New England with the personnel packages? Because I think the Packers still have an opportunity to come in and maybe get a win, maybe steal one at Foxborough, even though it's a tough place to play.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the Patriots have anybody of the ilk of Todd Gurley, so you have that right out of the chute. Gurley has been arguably the MVP in the league. That's my dog in the background. I don't know if you can hear
him. No, that's okay. We're dog friendly here.
So, yeah, I don't think they have anybody quite like him. Obviously, Brady, greater than Goff, greater than just about anybody, except for maybe the guy he's going to see on Sunday at Gillette Stadium. Receiving core, I don't think, is nearly as talented. Gronkowski, while a great player, has not been himself over the last few weeks. Missed a game against Chicago. He didn't look like himself last night. Honestly, I don't think there is much of a comparison talent-wise. I think the Rams are the better team right now.
Look at what Brady has been doing as of late. We all know that that team gets better as the season goes on. What has made the difference for them since early portions of this season?
Well, the first 3 weeks without Edelman and with no outside threat to speak of, he was really handcuffed. Couldn't throw the ball outside the numbers. They go make the trade for Gordon, and they force fed him quickly. And he's made a clear impact. But getting Edelman back too, that's Brady's security blanket. You know, he knows that Julian's going to get open. He knows Julian's going to get open quick on a night like last night where the Bills are generating some good pressure. You know, Edelman ends up with 9 catches. There's no coincidence there. He gets open. He gets open fast, and Brady has a lot of faith in that. So I think just the idea of getting Gordon outside, teams have to pay attention to him where they maybe didn't have to focus as much on Chris Hogan or Philip Dorsett, and now getting Edelman back really makes a difference to that passing offense.
We have seen here in Green Bay and here in Wisconsin that the Packers at times have had some, I want to say, dysfunctionality. There's been some sniping between the quarterback and the head coach, and it seems like sometimes there's a little bit of drama. The Patriots have had their fair share of it over the last year or two. How have they been able to kind of squelch all of that and still concentrated just on football?
Yeah, I mean, I think it lingered, you know, it was throughout the end of last season, and they went into the off season, and then Brady doesn't show up for OTAs other than the mandatory 3-day part, which is, that's not something that he's ever done. Especially when, you know, there are a couple of years where he was in L.A. when his son was born out in L.A. with Bridget Moynihan. But as soon as they got into the more heavy part of OTAs and they started throwing the ball a little bit more, he showed up. So this was something new. I think it definitely lingered, but I think one of the things that you can say about both Brady and Belichick is, you know, all that stuff, they may not be best friends, they may not always see eye to eye, but what they crave the most is winning on Sunday or Monday or whatever the hell they're playing, you know, and I think they're able to sort of put that stuff aside and say, well, look, I know that Tom Brady is my quarterback, gives me the best chance to win. And Tom Brady says, I know for all the Bills' issues, he gives me the best chance to win on Sunday. So let's put all that stuff off to the side, and we'll deal with that at some other point. But right now, let's go win a football game.
Defensively speaking, we know what Brady and company can do. We know what they can do on that offensive side. The defensive side, they still have guys like Dont'a Hightower. They still have Devin McCourty. They still have some quality players over there. Talk about this defense and the matchup against a Packers team coming to town with Aaron Rodgers and a lot of young wide receivers that he's starting to rely upon.
Yeah, I think the Patriots have been frustrated defensively last night, notwithstanding, against the terrible Bills offense, about their inability to sort of string together 4 good quarters. And talking to McCourty last week before the game on Friday, and I just said, you know, do you think some of these things that you're struggling with are more self-inflicted than opposition-inflicted? And he said, absolutely. He's like, you know, came out of that Colts game, for instance. They gave up 24 points, but I believe they're up 24-3 at one point. And then the next thing you know, they're in a barn burner. It's 31-24, and Brady's throwing up that prayer to Gordon that he pulls down over 2 defenders. And he just said, like, 3 plays. Yeah. And look, you got to play the full game, but there were 3 plays in that game that ruined the outcome of that game from our vantage point as the defense. Same thing with Kansas City. You know, they frustrated Kansas City in the first half. Mahomes was a little bit rattled. And then the second half, one big play, then there was another big play, then there was a third big play, and the next thing you know, you need Brady to go down the field with 2 minutes to play and get the field goal to win the game. So I think there's talent there, but they have not put it all together consistently. Last night was, again, a good – they did what they were supposed to do last night. So I'm going to give them credit for doing what they were supposed to do, because we'd be killing them if they gave up 20 points to the Bills. But I still think we need to see them against a good offense execute – and execute for 4 quarters, because we haven't really seen that.
What is it they're doing really well right now?
I don't know that there's one thing that they're doing really well. I think Stephon Gilmore's playing at a high level. He's the number one corner. He's been getting, he's been shadowing the opposition's best guy, and he's been pretty locked down, especially over the last month or so. He's just grown in confidence, and they've grown in confidence in him. I mean, they paid him a big amount of money, and he got off to a slow start last year, picked it up late, and I think it's sort of carried over into this year. I think he's been a key guy for them. I think Trey Flowers, when he's been healthy, has been a tough guy. He's probably their best player on the field last night, defensive end. Sometimes kicks inside the defensive tackle in pass rushing situations. But by and large, I think there's just a bunch of guys that have played average football. And I think the expectation is that some of those guys are better than that. And the hope is that they're going to be able to unearth some more of that here as they go forward.
This matchup, this is a big one for the Packers. This is almost a must win. Now, mathematically, they're not eliminated from anything if they lose this ball game, but this is almost a must win. The way the Packers played last week in L.A., I thought gave them a lot of credence to say we can go on the road and beat anybody. How big do you think this game is being viewed in New England?
I think it's pretty big. I think, first of all, I know from a defensive standpoint, they're all amped up to face Aaron Rodgers. You know, you like to, you're in the league, you want to play the best, and you want to have your best game against the best Sunday night. They know everybody's going to be watching, especially because of the quarterback matchup. So defensively, they're pretty amped to see Rodgers. And I know, you know, Brady's a super competitive guy, and, you know, he's not playing Aaron Rodgers, but somewhere in his brain, he wants to prove to everybody once again that I am the best and he's the second best. Okay. So I think there is a general enthusiasm for the game. And I think it'll build as the week goes on. I think, you know, they're going to be very self-critical after last night's performance offensively, only scoring, only putting up 18. They get the defensive touchdown in the game. And Brady, first time in eons, he's throwing for 320 yards or more and not throwing a touchdown pass. So I think they're going to look to sort of zone in some of their red zone issues from last night and correct that. But to me, a big part of the red zone stuff is Gronkowski. Like I said it earlier, he's not moving like himself. He made a great catch last night down the sidelines, helped set up a field goal, but by and large, invisible, being handled with one guy, that's not stuff that normally happens. He's been dealing with an ankle since the Jacksonville games. That was week two. And then he had the back that forced him out of last week. And I think he looked like he was moving like a guy with a back injury last night. So how quickly can he get healthy and you know, can he go back to being the guy that commands two people in the red zone and still to make plays? That's the key for the Patriots going forward.
Michael, great stuff. I certainly appreciate it. Look forward to Sunday night, okay?
You got it. Can't wait for it.
All right, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. Michael Girardi of the NFL Network covers the Patriots and giving us a lowdown on the Green Bay Packers and Patriots game coming up on Sunday Night Football. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they're making it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. Final segment of the program coming up next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Bill Michaels show on the air, and we're going to be back at it again tomorrow. We're going to talk about the Packers and the Patriots. And I think they're going to win. I think the Packers are going to win this game. And you can call up and give me all the reasons they will or they won't tomorrow. We're going to get into that. The Bucks sitting at 7-0 and getting ready for the Boston Celtics, the top team that's considered to be in the East. So we're going to break that down. Also wrap up the baseball season with our National Baseball Insider, Seth Everett. He'll be joining us as well. KJ's in West Dallas. What's going on, man? How you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing well, Bill. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
In regards to Ty Montgomery, good on him. I hope they do trade him. Or even if he gets cut, he'll be picked up by another team. That would probably be the best thing for his career. I think he's a quality young man. You know, he made a mistake in that game, obviously. But I think Green Bay, to me, is the elephant graveyard for running backs. They don't utilize the running backs. They try to make him, morph him into a running back when he was a wide receiver. He did everything else to sacrifice his body. You go back all the way to Eddie Lacy, all these other guys. They just don't utilize these guys the way that they should. As long as Aaron Rodgers is under center, they will not do the things that they'll need to do once you get to the playoffs to be a balanced team. And that's a running team and a passing team. You know, and that's what you got to have when you win in the playoffs. And that is the ultimate goal, is to win championships, right?
Right. Yep. No, I completely agree. Appreciate the phone call as always, man. Look, you know, we'll get back into this tomorrow if you want to continue the discussion. If not, you can not only hear the interview, I've posted the link, but you can also see the actual play in question. If you go to the Facebook fan page, just simply go to facebook.com/TheBillMichaelsShow, and you can find it all over there. I've posted everything, and you can track it down. But, you know, it's we'll wait and see, because there's a trade deadline today. I would be surprised if anybody took the Packers up on the trade, but at least has been rumored that they are shopping Ty Montgomery. We'll wait and see if it actually comes to fruition or not, but at least it's been rumored that they are possibly that they are possibly going to shop him around. So we'll see what happens. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. And if you want to get a hold of us, please do so. Dan writes in the Wendy's email inbox, I listened to Ty Montgomery's interview last night. I found him to be rather sincere. I know some people are out to get him because they just don't want to believe anything about anybody, that anybody looks at something as a situation and says, I just want to do what's right for my team. I believe he was trying to make a play somewhat selfishly, but I also believe that he was trying to do it for the betterment of the team. He would love to be hoisted on his teammates' shoulders as taking one to the house and winning a game for them. I'm sure any player would. Looking at Aaron Rodgers, he does that all the time. He's the guy that brings his team back, takes the adulation, smiles, goes home and has the scotches, and everybody loves Aaron Rodgers. I think Ty Montgomery wanted that for himself. Selfish, yes, but it's what every player would like. I get it, and I appreciate the email. That's it. That's it for the day. Got a lot of stuff coming up. Like I said, tomorrow we're going to talk and close out the baseball season with our National Baseball Insider, Seth Everett. Talk some more Packers and Patriots tomorrow, and I'm telling you, I believe they're going to win. Just a gut feeling. Been that, and I don't predict a whole lot. I mean, every now and then we'll do predictions, but I don't sit here and say I'm banking on the fact they're going to win. I said they'd win one of these two games. I didn't think they'd beat L.A., but I think they can beat the New England Patriots. I don't think the Patriots have the same level of talent that the Rams do. What they have is a cohesiveness between their head coach and their quarterback that just out-schemes people. So we'll see what happens. But I believe they can win this game. And then obviously the Bucs starting off at 7-0. It's been fantastic. Time for us to go. Have a go and see.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.